You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 23rd of March. The Jazz offense wins the ball game in a big-time battle. And while the offense rolls and Rudy is quiet, is that an issue? We'll talk about that. Plus the schizophrenic San Antonio Spurs, a packed Friday, and the incredible New Orleans Pelicans. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Welcome to San Antonio, Texas. I'm usually pretty loud with these, but I don't think our hotel walls are great, so I'm trying to keep it down a little bit, though it is 9:45 in the morning here, so not super early. I'm the radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider, and this is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, bringing you expertise, insight, behind this curtains look, and some geeky numbers as well. All right, let's get right to it. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, Intercap Lending, and our good friends over at Optical Norms. Optimal, not optical, optimal. It would be really cool if they were optical, because then it would be of sight. No, it's mental performance consulting. They're mental performance consultants. They have nothing to do with eyesight. Optimal Norms. All right, we got that right. I probably should go in and edit it, but I like to be real and transparent of when I screw up. So you've got that. All right, let's go to last night's game. Good, solid win. Dallas just keeps coming. We talked about it early in the broadcast last night that they had lost 29 games by seven or less. They just didn't get blown out, and it was going to be a battle. That game, In the way the game flow went, is exactly what you expected. The Jazz got up, they kind of pushed ahead, Dallas came back, and the Jazz, and you never felt totally comfortable, but you walked out with a win. That's a good win. You know, the Jazz, as much as that Atlanta loss hurts, the Jazz have now played 10 games in which they had a win probability of 60% or more in the recent stretch. They played six of them with an 80 to 100% win probability, and four of them with a 60 to 8 win probability. They're 9-1. You know, to some extent, you just can't win 100% of those games. That Hawks game is painful, and we're gonna look back and kind of, I think, talk about it a lot between now and then. But last night was a good win. I mean, that's the one where bouncing back, you got to try to avoid to not blink. We did this whole certain win, should win, pick 'em, unlikely, and no chance that we've been doing this whole time. If you've just joined us to the show, February 22nd or 23rd, I broke down the remaining schedule on every team and looked at them with and broke every game. According to 538's win probability, broke them into five categories. Certain wins were where you were 80 to 100%. Should wins were 60 to 80, pick'ems were 40 to 60, unlikelies were 20 to 40, and zero, no chances were 0 to 20. And kind of my point on this was that I thought everybody would outperform the norms a little bit, and you're going to have to do the same. It's also why I think the Jazz quest to make the playoffs is more difficult than people were giving it credit, because they don't have a lot of room to make up for any mistakes if they make one. So that the Jazz have played 10 games now where they had 60% or above win probability, and they're 9-1. I mean, that's pretty money. The group 3 through 10 has won 75%, about maybe 28 and 10, I think it's about 74%, of games that are between 60 and 80. So they are actually doing exactly that. They're outperforming. Everyone is actually outperforming the numbers, exactly as I projected would happen in this, is that these teams are outprojecting what you'd anticipate. On certain wins that are 80 to 100%, the teams are at 95%, the only loss being the Jazz. Pick'ems, they're 11 and 10. Unlikely wins, which are supposed to be between 20 and 40%, they've won 45%. So everyone is outperforming the norm right now. And so that's why last night's win is good, because you just, there's not a lot of chances. You can't blink. And Dallas is just good enough to probably, if you're off, and Dallas got hot. I mean, the Jazz have won two games in a row now where opponents got hot and they found a way to survive. Kevin Pelton and I have discussed a lot. If you follow all the work we do, including Locked On NBA, we've discussed a lot about, you know, the 3-point shot is kind of the variable thing that happens inside of a game. You're not entirely sure how that's going to play one way or the other of what happens. And teams, you can defend the one way and the ball goes in one night and doesn't go in the other. Sacramento and Dallas, the ball went in and the Jazz survived. Ironically, Atlanta wasn't as much, but, teams had been below the kind of league norm at 30% from above the break three, and all of a sudden they're burying them the last few nights against us. The Jazz win last night with offense. That's the worst defensive number the Jazz have put up from in fact, it was the 58th worst defensive night of the year. It's one of the worst defensive nights of the year with Rudy. It's the ninth best offensive game the Jazz have played all season long. So really impressive for the Jazz to be able to kind of win that one. Honestly, I just think there were a lot of things last night that would have led you to believe that the Jazz were going to lose it. And some of it's just the shot making, right? As I said, teams were at 30% on above the break threes, and both Sacramento and Dallas buried shots. Those, you know, I'd have to go back and look, and I haven't, of whether or not they were like crazy uncontested looks or something of that nature. I don't have that feeling that they were. Dallas is actually a funky little matchup for the Jazz. I talked about this on my Twitter thread last night, because which you can get at lockedonjazz.net. That's www.lockedonjazz.net after every game, or follow me at Locked On Sports on Twitter, is that they take the fewest amount of shots in the restricted area of anyone in the league. So that makes it a hard night for Rudy to have that their regular impact on the game. Interesting one to me last night, and then I want to talk a little bit about Donovan. I didn't tease that, but I do want to talk about Donovan, is that Rudy is really a vital piece of our offense. I think we'll see that when we go to Pack, that he's one of the most impactful guys in the league. And yet he didn't, I think he ended up with about three shots last night. And yet it was the ninth best offensive game of the year. So it's an interesting question of whether or not you really got to get Rudy the ball, or whether or not Rudy's impact was so much that it opened up everything else. I'm not sure the answer. And I present these things to you a lot of times not having the answer. But Rudy has become vital. He ended up with four shots and had five blocks last night. And the offense was good. Is that a case where, when we talk about Rudy's offensive impact, and in the podcast I did with Nate Duncan on Dunked Up Basketball, nobody refers to him as an offensive player, but how much is Rudy responsible last night for the fact that this is a good offensive game, just because they're taking so much time and such a threat and worried about him so much? I think that's a worthwhile discussion for the Jazz and for Jazz fans to consider. Dallas, last night Ron Boone brought it up, is a team that you've got to get into the paint against. I thought the Jazz did a great job last night. Dallas is last in the NBA, or 29th in the NBA, in defending the restricted area percentage-wise, and 28th in the paint, but they allow the fewest shots in the league. So that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to take away Rudy. That's who Dallas's defense is. And so when that happens, then all of a sudden, you have to still have other guys that are willing to commit to get into the paint. And the Jazz took 32 shots in the paint last night, or in the restricted area, which is pretty high. The Jazz are pounding the restricted area recently. 32 shots against Dallas, 28 against Atlanta is not great, 37 against Sacramento, 41 against Phoenix, 35 against the Pelicans, 24 against Detroit. Those are big, big numbers. And they hit their mid-range shots last night, and above the break threes, they were better after, 7 of 40 the last two nights. I think we talked about yesterday, they were 9 of 21 last night, so they got a little bit better in that regard. So those are just some of the interesting kind of little debates that are taking place. I want to talk about Donovan Mitchell, and I want to talk about the Spurs and their schizophrenia coming up for you here in just one second. I really thank you guys for your acceptance of our sponsors and your support of our sponsors. These shows are free. They make it worth our while to do them, and have been very, I think I'm honored that they have a belief in you guys and in us as a program to be on. And I know it's new that there's sponsorship in podcasting, that kind of the and we're on the, frankly, the Lockdown Podcast Network is on the forefront of some of that. And so it's, I appreciate it. I just want to thank you for your acceptance of that and your support of our sponsors. One of our sponsors today that allows this show to come is Optimal Norm, which Mason Nichols and his group have started. The mental aspects of sports are critical to success. I think we all know that, right? So whether it's performing under pressure, my son's ski racing right now and he's, you know, had great first run and second run didn't go great yesterday. Like it, I mean, he still did fabulously, but is that a question of, was he ready? Like he's got it. He has a sports, he has a mental performance coach and consultant. That's, they have that in his program. They deal with us to be ready for these moments, to give him confidence, to give him that motivation, to give him the focus, to give him decision making so he can relax in the moment, breathing patterns to deal, all sorts of really interesting things that athletes need in this day and age. So this is where Optimal Norms, checks in and is available for you. They sit down with you one-on-one with mental performance consulting, deliberate training, the mental aspects of the sport. While most of the athletes don't take the time to do it, yours can. And the consultants have advanced degrees in sports science, psychology, giving, you know, really give you that kind of, that extra step, that extra, confidence, that extra edge against the other athletes. The cool thing is in this day and age, the way Optimal Norms is set up is that, okay, you have one-on-one meetings, but let's say you're on the road and you've got a big event and you want to check in with your consultant, then you can do that online. There, no matter where you live, where you travel, where you play, maybe you just do the whole thing online because you're not around the area. OptimalNorms.com, you can check it out, 801-722-8180. Do tell them that Locked On Jazz sent you. You will get one free when you purchase five or more sessions. So get your kid out there and give them some training in the mental skills categories. You do the weight training, you do the physical skills. How about the mental skills as well? Do it with Optimal Norms, 801-722-8180. All right, we'll get to Pack and some of that coming up here in a minute. I want to talk about Donovan. I actually had coffee with Brent Berry today, and we were talking about of TNT, and we were, and former NBA player, we were talking about the stars of the league. And he was talking about just how incredible it is, the guys that perform every night. And I kind of touched on this a little bit with Quinn last night, but the fact that Donovan in a coach's show is dropping 26 again last night, and that every single night we're taking this 21-year-old kid and turning the game over to him offensively, and he has to perform every single night for the Utah Jazz to be able to win. In his first year in the league, in his while he's learning the pick and roll, I mean, he wasn't a point guard in Louisville. He didn't run a lot of pick and rolls in Louisville. This is all really new to him. And yet, you look down at what he is doing on a nightly basis, 26, 24, 28, 23, 13, 27, 12 in a blowout win. The 13 was in a 30-point win. 20, 19, 27, 20. It's incredible. The burden that the Jazz have placed upon him necessarily, and then the way he is responding to it, and night in and night out, is mind-blowing. We're throwing these incredible data points out on a nightly basis, and I kind of started talking about this a little bit yesterday. I'm not sure we're all taking it in, right? The Jazz won their 41st game last night. The only rookies to lead their team in scoring at 20 points or more and win 40-plus games, Carmelo Anthony in 03-04, that was 14 years ago. Shaq in 92-93 won 41 games. That was 25 years ago. David Robinson in 89-90, and he came out of the Naval Academy. And Larry Bird, who came out of 4 years of college, was the best player in the country. And they won 61. Jazz win four more games, and this kid is going to lead the Utah Jazz to a winning amount of wins, well, that has not been done since David Robinson came out of the Naval Academy in 1989-90. That Larry Bird did in 79-80. It's really remarkable. And I want to make sure that we understand the burden that the Jazz are putting on this kid and how incredibly he's answering it every single night. Sure, the above the break, three's not going the way it used to. It's incredible. What the greatest players in this league are asked to do, whether it's Dame Lillard or Russell Westbrook or LeBron James, to carry the load every single night on their team. And Donovan's doing it without another scorer. The next best scorers on this team are Joe Ingles and Rudy Gobert. They're good. Rudy doesn't create for himself. Joe is finding a way to work in this league. But come on now. Right? Rudy was drafted 27th, not because of his offense, and Joe was undrafted and cut. And Don, those are the guys with Don. He doesn't have Paul George and Carmelo Anthony so that he can take a night off. He doesn't have Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson so he can take a night off. He doesn't have Kevin Love. LeBron's superhuman, but he's still got Kevin Love. He doesn't have Chris Paul. What James Harden's doing is incredible. He's the MVP. But look at the guys that are doing what Donovan's being asked to do on a night-in and night-out basis in his first year in the league and answering it. If I'm making his Rookie of the Year camp, that's my argument. That's why he deserves Rookie of the Year. It's really just remarkable. And we should be in awe on a nightly basis. Not asking for more, just in pure awe of what he's achieving and doing and the consistency by which he is doing it. I'm blown away by it. We're 72 games into the season, and this kid is powering through this. And he's having nights that if he had one of them on a rookie season, we'd be saying, oh my gosh, he's going to be amazing. And he's doing it every night. The Spurs are fascinating to me. They're completely, completely schizophrenic. In that they play Moneyball defense and not Moneyball offense. It's a really fascinating mix. So offensively, the Spurs take the 26th most amount of threes in the NBA. If you look at the Spurs shot chart, they are the third overall just shooting. They 7th best corner three team, 27th best above the break team, 13th mid-range team. They take the 25th most amount of shots in the restricted area, pretty low. They take the third most mid-range shots. They take the 26th most amount of threes. And they do take the 9th most amount of corner threes of the threes they take. So they're kind of the anti, if you go look at the kind of the big money ball number, restricted area plus threes, they're 27th in the league at 57.8%. We're 10th in league at 67.5. League average is 65. They're at 57.8. Flip it to their defense, and they're the opposite. They are the 7th best team at defending the restricted area. They are the number 2 team in the league at defending the corner 3. They're number 6 team in the league at defending the above the break 3. They allow middle of the pack shots in the restricted area. They allow the 6th fewest amount of threes in the league. So defensively, they're completely money ball, and offensively, they aren't. It's a really interesting kind of mix on how these two teams play and are different in how they or how this team is differently on each side of the ball and how they approach it. All right, it's a Pack Friday. We'll hit that coming up in just 1 second. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. Blake and the crew are doing March Madness. I want to tell you a little bit about just kind of how this all came about. I met with the Murdochs, sat around a table with their whole family. It was a really cool event. You could feel the pride they had and what they were telling me. I knew very little about them. And you could feel it, the pride the Murdoch family had that emanated out of that room for the multiple generations that were sitting there about who they are and what they do and how they service the Utah community. I've gotten to know Blake and Tyson over at Murdoch Chevy well, spent some time with Blake. And now I really have a better understanding of what they're trying to do. In the car dealership world, their margins are pretty slim. There's only so many things they can do. So what do they want to do? They're going to give you the price match guarantee. They're going to give you car washes for life. They're going to give you oil changes for life. Those are the things that they can do to give you what they call their no regrets experience. That's what the Murdochs are all about. Then the Hyundai brand, as I've told you, is a wild, crazy eye opener. I'm driving right now, driving the Sonata, enjoying it immensely. Driven the Santa Fe, love the Santa Fe. Probably about to buy a Santa Fe, frankly, for my son or for the family. My son does not get a car. He did not hear that. I did not say that way. He does not get a car. The family is going to add a third car that he can use based on his need and his behavior. Right? Right, moms and dads. And so you can check it out. Look at the Hyundai brand. I think you'll be really, really impressed. 4646 South State Street, and you'll experience the Murdochs. No regret. Approach. Today's show is also brought to you by Intercap Lending. Intercap Lending is a 40-year mortgage company. They've come to Utah. They're employing a bunch of people in Utah doing some great things. They're a little different because they're a direct lender. So they're able to do things without additional requirements. Their goal is to make their app, which is really cool, as easy as it is to order a pizza. And that's what makes Intercap Mortgage so great, is the ease by which it is. I just did my refinance with Intercap Mortgage, and it was, I mean, I'm not great this time of year getting anything done with this and the Lockdown Podcast Network and the play-by-play, and yet Steve Carter helped me through the process. And that was really exactly what they said they were going to be able to do, and they can do it. So if you are sitting out there and you've got a loan, but because you got multiple properties, you're self-employed, you got business assets, or if you have low credit or something like that, they can probably help you out because of their direct lender and the way they do things. So give Intercap Lending a call. That's 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. Ask for Steve Carter. And by the way, if you do your mortgage with Intercap Lending, they'll do the appraisal for you for free. That's a lot of money. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 1904.65. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. All right, let's wrap this up a little Pack Friday. We didn't do it last week, so this should be kind of fun today. Let's start with the entire season and see Steph Curry still being the best offensive player, not playing enough to be an MVP candidate. But I think it's interesting that he is still by far the best offensive player in the league. His Pack is a 4.6. Durant is second as a 3.6. This is going to be really hard for teams to overcome in the playoffs, by the way. I'm not sure that's going to be able to be done by anyone. James Harden's a 3.2. Karl Anthony Towns having an amazing year. We're talking so much about Jimmy Butler, but he is now the fourth most efficient offensive player as a big. It's interesting, on the Dunked On Basketball podcast, you had Nate Duncan kind of saying, well, Karl Anthony Towns, you know, takes away Rudy Gobert. Like, Karl Anthony Towns is coming out on this, is the fourth best offensive player in the league. LeBron's five, tied with Anthony Davis. The seventh most impactful, positively impactful offensive player in the NBA now is Rudy Gobert. His Pack is 2.2. He uses 11 scoring possessions a night, and he scores 2.2 points more than the average player in the league would with those possessions. Now, if you have productive players around him, the fact that his usage rate is only 10.6, or is he only using 10.6 possessions, means that he's incredibly valuable. And Clint Capela is the same. Clint Capela is using 10.8 possessions a game and is a 2.0. I have a rule on stats. If I list you the top 15 names and three, or top 10 names, and three or four of them don't make sense, reevaluate the three or four. If I give you 10 names and six don't make sense, then reevaluate the stat. But Steph Curry, number one. Durant, number two, you're saying yes. Harden, number three, you're saying yes. Karl Anthony Towns, four, you're saying yes. LeBron, number five, saying yes. Anthony Davis, number six, you're saying yes. Rudy Gobert, number seven, you're like, wait, what? Reevaluate. Kyrie Irving, 8. That makes sense. Clint Capella, 9. Huh? Giannis is at 10. DeAndre Jordan's at 11. Damian Lillard's at 12. Like, these all make sense. Chris Paul, Kevin Love, Nikola Jokic. And the fact that Rudy's only using 11 possessions a night, scoring opportunities, and Clint Capella's only using 11, DeAndre Jordan's only using 9, and yet their positive offensive impact is as much as these other guys. The negative is that there's an extra 10 or 11 scoring opportunities that have to be used. So if you can find an average player to use those 11, you're rolling. If they go to a negative player, then the fact that these guys can't create their own shots is a problem. But those, it all, Montrezl Harrell and the Clippers and DeAndre, you wonder why they're so good, are in there. And we're really at Jonas Valanciunas in Toronto. Notice, by the way, also, all of those teams are winning. Like, here's an interesting note for you. I hadn't thought about this before. Let's go down the list and find our first guy with a losing record. It's Enes Kanter at 1.7. We keep going, and I'm still Julius Randle at 1.4 pack. So anyone who's got a 1.4 pack, 5 pack above other than Enes Kanter is on a winning team. And Julius Randle is next. Dwight Powell, by the way, of Dallas is a pretty underrated player. He's at a 1.3 pack. Kyle Lowry's at a 1.3. Your negative offensive players who have the biggest negative impact this year: Dennis Smith, minus 2.8, losing record. Lonzo Ball, minus 2.8, losing record. Deion Waiters, minus 2.1. Josh Jackson, Phoenix, minus 2.0. Zach LaVine, minus 2.0. Chris Dunn, minus 1.9. De'Aaron Fox, minus 1.8. Avery Bradley, minus 1.8. Mike James, minus 1.8. John Wall, minus 1.7. Tyler Ulis, minus 1.7. Carmelo, minus 1.7. Marcus Smart, minus 1.7. Russell Westbrook, minus 1.6. So non-rookies, you have Avery Bradley, Russell, Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook. Russell's moving up. Frank Ntilikina, minus 1.6. Malik Monk, minus 1.5. Dennis Schroeder and Andrew Wiggins, both minus 1.5. I know, and Schroeder got us. Manuel Mudiay, minus 1.5. Isaiah Thomas, minus 1.5. The Utah Jazz, specifically for the season, I didn't take questions this week. I apologize. Rudy, 2.2. Ingles, 1.3. Just incredible. Derek Favors, 0.6. Tabo, 0.5. We miss him. Jonas, 0.1. Epe, 0.1. Howell's even. Royce O'Neal's a minus 0.4, as is Jay Crowder for the season. Alec Burks, minus 0.5. Donovan, minus 0.6. Ricky Rubio, minus 0.9, which is lower than last year. Dante, minus 1.6 in his 5 games so far. Let's look at last 10 games. Who's the hottest player in the NBA? Now, some of this is these guys haven't played a lot of games, so we got to kind of figure out what we're going to... Steph and Kyrie have only played 4 and 5 games, so the hottest player in the league right now is Kyle Lowry. That's interesting. Is he warming up for the playoffs to take over a little bit? 51% from the floor, 48% from 3. Karl-Anthony Towns is next. Nikola Jokic is 3rd. Jokic is 58% for the field, 51% from 3 recently, a 3.9 pack. Rudy is 4th. Kevin Durant is 5. LeBron is 6. Brooke Lopez in L.A. playing great basketball. Lakers are playing good. Is next. Cody Zeller in Charlotte. Has he played at all? No, he's only played 3 games. So we'll pass it. Anthony Davis, Chris Middleton, Dario Saric, Mo Harkless has been helping Portland, and Dwight Powell in Dallas, who I mentioned. Some other guys that are hot: Kelly Olynyk, Wilson Chandler, Julius Randle, J.J. Redick. Joe Ingles is a 2.4 over the last 10. Dwight Howard, Kyle Korver, our thoughts are with the Korver family. His brother passed away. Crazy. Sad story. James Harden, the rest. Let's see who the coldest. John Collins, Atlanta, we didn't see. Let's see who the coldest players in the NBA are. Lonzo Ball, Emmanuel Mudiay, Dennis Smith. They were helped by not having Smith. Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon has only played 5 games. Isaiah Thomas, really struggling. De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Rodney Hood in the five games he's last five games he's played in Cleveland is a -2.5 pack. Stanley Johnson -2. Elfrid Payton in Phoenix not getting any more efficient. Al Horford is struggling in Boston. Tyler Dorsey in Atlanta. Mario Hezonja and Serge Ibaka in Toronto. That's a little worrisome for them in the playoffs. Nikolai Mirotic is a -2.7 pack in New Orleans. 36% from the field, 28% from three. Surprising. Victor Oladipo struggling, -2.2 pack. And those Danny Green scuffling for San Antonio, 33% from the field, 31% from three. Royce O'Neal, -2 for the Jazz. All right, let's look at the Jazz last 10 games and wrap this baby up. I'll make sure we do questions next Friday. I love it when you guys always ask great questions on that. All right, so our pack players in the last 10 games, Rudy Gobert, 3.7. Joe Ingles, 2.4. Favors, 0.7. Neto, 0.4. AB in 9 minutes in three games is even. Jonas is -0.1. Jay Crowder, -0.7. Epe Udo, -1 in the little bit he's played. Donovan, -1.2. Ricky, -1.3. Dante, -1.6. And Royce O'Neal, -2. Rudy. Woo, thank goodness for Rudy and Joe Ingles right now. They are carrying the offense through, and then the burden Donovan has, just remarkable. We talked about it earlier. That wraps us up today. Thanks so much to OpticalNorms.com. Optimal Norms. Did I say it again? Did I put the C in there again? OptimalNorms.com. That's like the Freudian thing where you say you don't want to do it. OptimalNorms.com. Coming your direction. Give them a call. They can help you out with your performance consulting, Intercap Lending, and Murdoch Hyundai. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.